Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Does the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA as it's commonly known, protect your privacy? Is the information you're asked to provide at the time of your child's birth used for something other than just registering the happy event? Well, we're going to discuss this and more. My guest is Twyla Braze. She's the president and co-founder of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Shirley.
This is very interesting. Now, just to let our audience know, you put out a study on birth certificates and information that's there. But before we get to that, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what HIPAA is. I believe consumers believe this is a privacy act to protect their information, but in fact, that's not the case at all, is it?
That's correct. The HIPAA privacy rule is actually a disclosure rule. And so when you sign that form in the clinic or at the hospital, what you are actually signing is that you have read or received the clinic's notice of privacy practices. But if you look at the notice of privacy practices, you'll realize it's not a notice of privacy practices at all. It's actually a notice of disclosure practices. So that if you get that form, you see all the ways that they can disclose your information without your consent. Now, we have a special program project going on here to ask people not to sign the HIPAA form. And part of the reason that we do that is, one, to let people know that they have a right not to sign it. They are not required to sign it. And as a matter of fact, the federal government has a special web page to tell doctors and hospitals what to do when you refuse to sign it.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Right. And we have little wallet-sized cards, too, that people can get from our office if they want to bring that into their doctor's office and show them the URL, the website, where they can go to once the patient refuses to do this. So, but it's not only about allowing you to exercise your right. It's also about bringing to the staff's understanding of the clinic or the hospital that HIPAA doesn't actually protect your privacy. And whether you sign it or you don't sign it, your privacy is not protected, because the only thing that you're doing when you sign that piece of paper is saying that you know you have no privacy, because you have read the notice of privacy practices and you know you have no privacy. But most people, and
don't
I believe
read it.
This is probably the agenda of the administration when they did this, most people think that when they sign this, it means that their information is between themselves and their doctor. But that's totally not true, and we are trying to get this information out to the public to help them to understand that HIPAA actually gave away their privacy. They have no privacy. 2.2 million entities, according to the federal government, can potentially have access to your records without your consent, plus government agencies on top of that. So there is no privacy because of HIPAA.
All right. Yes. And that's what was startling to me when I was talking to you before we started the program, that there is no protection there. But I believe that most consumers, and here I am a consumer reporter, and I thought I was pretty savvy, but I knew that when I signed it, I was agreeing for my doctor to be able to share information with insurance providers and things like that. Now, if I don't sign this, and do I have to sign one every time I go into the doctor's office? Rescind it?
You can't really rescind it. And remember, you're not agreeing to anything.
Okay.
You're actually just saying that you have read or received this notice of privacy practices. Now, some clinics are bundling this into their consent for treatment form, their agreement to pay form. So we ask people to cross out the part that refers to HIPAA or the notice of privacy practices. And if you go onto our website, we have a special page called HIPAAHurtMe.org, and that's HIPAA with two A's.
Okay.
HIPAAHurtMe.org. And you can put in your personal story about how your privacy has been violated, or how when you refuse to sign the HIPAA form, what happened. Because we actually put out a report in December with 12 personal stories of people who refused to sign the HIPAA form and what happened.
And oh,
you
wow.
can find a copy of that report at HIPAAHurtMe.com.
Okay.
Sorry, HIPAAHurtMe.org.
Yeah. And now, what is your website itself, Twyla, the organization?
Sure, our website is www.cchfreedom.org. CCHfreedom.org.
Okay.
And there are links, of course, to all of these things
of course.
On the website. And at the very top is our weekly newsletter that comes out every Wednesday by email. And people can sign up there. It's at the top of the homepage, CCHfreedom.org.
Okay. So, listeners, remember, it's CCHfreedom.org. And you're a nonprofit organization, and you do research on privacy, and you're concerned about our patient privacy and the sharing of information. I know that states, and this is kind of diverging to a different area, but states have databases that they collect on residents of their state. Some of them do anyway. There was, at one time, when we were really concerned about privacy, a lot of outcry about it. But it's kind of died down, and I'm sure that practice has expanded and continued. That's a subject for another discussion. But let's go back to the HIPAA, the misconceptions about it and what it actually is doing. Now, if I go into my doctor's office and they ask me to sign this form, normally it's a one-page fine print, and most of us, frankly, I do it. I sign it without even thinking about it. But now, what am I opening up? Who is likely to look at my records and know the state of my health? Should I be concerned about that?
So, several things about the consent form, because we have grown increasingly concerned about what we call a coercive or bundled consent form. So, you went in for treatment, you will agree to pay for the cost of your care, but suddenly if you look at that consent form, you'll see a variety of other things, including this thing about reading or receiving a copy of the Notice of Privacy Practices for HIPAA.
Mm-hmm.
But you also might see research provisions, or you might see sharing of data with clinics that aren't any part of your clinic, or there's other things that are in there. So I think it's really important to read the entire consent form. And our preference is that there should be a signature for each piece of the consent form so that you don't sign away whatever might all be on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when it comes to HIPAA, whether you sign it or you don't sign it, you are not opening yourself up to more. HIPAA opens everyone up to this broad disclosure of information, whether you sign the form or whether you refuse to sign the form. But we are asking people to refuse to sign the form so that when confidential information about you is shared and you come to your clinic and you say, look, I can't believe that so-and-so knows this. I thought my information was between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
They will pull out this HIPAA form.
Oh.
And they will say, you signed here that you read our Notice of Privacy Practices. So you should have understood how broadly we would share your information. And if you didn't want that shared, you shouldn't have told us.
Let's just take a brief pause here, Twyla, and let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Twyla Braze. She is the president and co-founder of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And we're talking about a lot of things that impact on your health privacy, which is really quite fascinating. Okay, so you sign that form in the doctor's office. You feel like you're coerced into doing it because you're thinking, well, I have to sign this because I want to see this doctor. Do doctors refuse to see patients because they won't sign those forms?
If there's actually a separate section for the HIPAA and you refuse to sign, that's one thing. If you refuse to sign the form that gives consent for treatment, they will refuse treatment for you.
Okay.
So, if you cross out the HIPAA or you refuse to sign the HIPAA form if it has a separate signature for it, some doctors will refuse because they think that they have to force you to do that.
Uh-huh.
They do not know the law. They do not understand that HHS, the federal government, knows that you don't have to sign this form, and they have set up a special webpage because they know. But most doctors don't know. Most clinic managers don't know. So this is a piece of education that you, as a patient, can give them. You can call for our wallet-sized cards. You can hand that over. We've had clinics actually take that card and copy it and then put it into the record when a patient refuses.
Well, that's wonderful, because then that shows that there's some proactive consumer interest there, privacy protection interest.
That's correct.
All right, the website, again, to remind you, is cchfreedom.org. That's cchfreedom.org. And what was the other website, Twyla, that you mentioned that had to do with the...
with HIPAA.
Yeah.
So that one brings you to a specific page on our website.
Okay, so then you can just go to the... Let's not confuse everybody. That'll just go to your general website and click on the link that says HIPAA hurt me, right?
It's not actually probably that simple. Just put in HIPAA and you will get to it.
You'll get to it.
Do the search on HIPAA.
Okay.
Two A's.
Right. HIPAA, yes. See,
yeah.
I think,
or you can go to the bottom of the homepage, actually. That's where you can find
everything.
At the bottom of the homepage.
Okay. All right. This is really great information. And this card that you have, people can get it. And as you said, take it with them to their doctor's office if they don't feel comfortable providing this information.
Now, no, that's correct.
I know my doctor's office, they gave me a form that asked me all about my lifestyle and stuff. And I said, you know, I'm not answering this. I'm interested in my health. You don't need to know what I do. I mean, I just really felt resentful. And I didn't do it. I said, I'm sorry, but I'll give you what it pertains to my health, and that's it. Why do they want all this information about what you do and if you jog? And I mean, it's crazy.
Yes, there are several reasons, and we do encourage people to do exactly what you did, which is not to fill out those forms, not to fill out those questionnaires. They're essentially trying to create a profile on you for several reasons. One, because under Obamacare, now people are going to be paid, doctors are going to be paid not for the services that they give you, but for your outcomes. So if they can impact your lifestyle, they need to first know your lifestyle, and then they need to try and change your lifestyle in order to make you a healthier person so that you never come in. So there's this sense where this law has actually caused hospitals and clinics to want to intrude in your life to find out who you are, what you do, and how can they make you a more healthy person so that you never come in the door? Because they're not going to be paid for the services they provide you. They're only going to be paid for your outcome. And sometimes they're only going to be paid a capitated or limited amount for an entire population of people. That's called the Accountable Care Organization part of Obamacare. So they get an entire population, they get a limited amount of money, and they have to figure out how to use it over a year.
Does that population...
If you come in their door lots of times, you're going to be using up that money, leaving them nothing at the end. So essentially, Obamacare and the ACO have made your doctor sort of your insurer. They get this capitated amount of money. They're at risk for spending more of that money than they want to spend, and therefore they want you healthy and not coming through the door.
So they don't really want to see you.
That's exactly right.
Well, we're all going to die. How can you prevent people dying? I mean, you can't prevent that. I mean,
No, you can't.
And as I get older, the more I appreciate the fact that my body doesn't do what it used to do. So this is scary in the sense that they're going to treat me because they want me to get well so they can get paid, not treating me for the reason that they started practicing medicine. I mean, this is kind of a skewed view, isn't it?
Yes, it's something that we're very concerned about. It's called that they're transitioning from something called fee-for-service, so you get a fee for every service that you provide. That's
yes.
how, you know, you pay your hairstylist,
right.
That's how you pay your plumber, right?
That's the way the world works normally, yes.
Right. So the entire health plan and government program system are moving away from fee-for-service into what they call pay-for-performance or value-based purchasing. So they're going to pay doctors and hospitals according to the value the government or the health plans place on the care that you have provided or the outcomes of those patients. But as doctors often say, the outcomes of a patient have sometimes very little to do with the physician and more to do with the patient's compliance, the patient's physiology, the genetics, the finances, the culture, many, many things. But this is the movement, and I think it should be looked at as a scary time, because what you want is a doctor who pays you because they care about you and they want to provide you the services that you need.
Right.
As opposed to someone who is working for someone else and you actually become a burden, a financial burden to them, because they're not going to be paid for the services they give you. They're going to be paid for a different kind of value, like keeping you healthy.
Well, how can you base that? As you say, that is such a subjective judgment. Is the government making that determination as to whether or not the outcome is what it should be? That's a little frightening.
That's correct, and part of that is the data collection. So they are moving to do data collection not only on perhaps your lifestyle, but race, ethnicity, country of origin, gender, sexual orientation, socioeconomic conditions, your titles, your profession, the residence that you, the residential section of the city that you live in. They want to do all of this data because they need to try and convince the payers that the doctors need to try and convince the payers that they should actually be paid more, that there are reasons in the patient's life that the outcomes aren't as good. So they have to try and collect all of this data. So what you see is a system that can be completely gamed with data, but also that doctors and hospitals can be deprived by the payer's idea of value.
Wow, that just kind of makes my head spin, tell you the truth. It really
but
does.
At the end
standing,
of the day, what it really means is your doctors aren't going to be paid to take care of you, you know, for services.
Yeah.
Like you actually become more of a burden to them.
Wow.
And which is it not seems, what you want.
It seems to me like it's turned healthcare upside down. Well, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Twyla Braze. She's the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And we're talking about, you know, what does HIPAA really mean? And what segued a little bit there into what Obamacare is going to mean in terms of our doctor-patient relationship and the services that we receive and how doctors are being reimbursed. It really is totally different. Well, let's go to the part that really I started out to talk about, which was the whole business about birth certificates. I was just astonished when I read your press release, Twyla, how now, and my son has grown, has been for some time, so I don't remember ever being asked anything intrusive on the birth certificate. With my son, we just registered his birth and the parents and place and so on. Now I'm learning that birth certificates are a whole different animal. Tell us about it.
Yes, it looks like the state governments around the country decided that the time of birth is an occasion to collect data on the family. So rather than just the rudimentary data that you were talking about, right, the whether it's a boy or a girl and what day and the name and the mother's name and all that sort of stuff, that's really just basic information to register the birth, they have decided to use it as a time to collect data on the mother, the father, the family in general. So what we did is we looked at data from, we looked at birth certificate worksheets. That's what it's called. Sometimes they hand this worksheet to the mother or to the father. Sometimes it's just the hospital has it and they're filling it out from various data sources. And so we looked at the data that's collected by 28 states and Washington, D.C., and then we put that into a spreadsheet so people could look at their own state if you're one of the 28. We couldn't do all 50 just because of time constraints. But but you can look at the data that they try to collect. Now, as it turns out, we didn't look at all the laws. We didn't look at many at all. That wasn't the purpose of this particular report. But we did find in our research that in Minnesota, for example, there's actually the ability of parents to say no, and the hospitals don't have to file all this data if they can't find it elsewhere, and the parents say no. But in Washington State, it looks like it's a mandate that all of this data be collected, and they don't have anything that says, well, if the parents refuse to tell you, don't worry, just send it in. It looks like it's a complete mandate.
You mean to tell me if I have a child in Washington State, and I don't want to tell them whether or not I have a glass of wine every night and whether or not I exercise or eat fatty foods, they're not going to let me register the birth of my child?
That is not clear. It's just that there's no out written in the law or in the rule, but just because it's not written doesn't mean that they would not register.
Okay.
It's just that there's nothing written there that would let anybody think that the parents had any option. And when you look at the worksheets, oftentimes it will say something like, we need this entire thing for the registration of your child.
Oh, boy.
I'm just paraphrasing there, which really puts a lot of pressure on the parents to submit all this information. And as you said, I mean, if you look back in our spreadsheet, which has probably 300 different data elements across the states, there are questions in Colorado, for instance, on income. New York asked questions about how did you feel about becoming pregnant?
Oh, my God. What does that have to do with registering my child's birth?
Right. And so Florida has a handbook that makes it very clear that there are three parts of the registration process. The first part is actually for the birth certificate. The second part they call administration, and they ask all these other questions about the parents. And the third part they call health and medical for research purposes and to give to researchers to look at different statistics about mothers and babies and birth and that sort of thing. But we, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do with our report is tell people that this is happening. This should not happen just for you to register your child. It shouldn't be a time for data collection on the family. I can't remember which state asked for it, but one state asked whether or not anybody in the family has had a hearing condition, anybody in anybody's family. So, you know, it could be your grandparents, whatever. If you're asked that question and you click it off, you're not only providing information about the child, the parents, you're also going further back into the family.
Wow.
So we want parents to know this. They shouldn't let this happen. They should find out before they are going to go in and have their baby delivered. What is their hospital collecting? What does their state collect? What are their rights to not share this information? Now, well, I think it's Florida. It might be Florida, or maybe it's Wyoming, that gives all this rationale for why they are going to collect race or why they're going to collect educational level of parents and mothers. But that is not why you're in the hospital, you know, to become a subject of state government research without
right.
your consent.
Right. Well, it's one thing if it's bulk data, but this is data that's identifiable. This is data that's part being tied to your child's birth. It's not like
right.
you were filling out an anonymous form. This is totally different. And what would this how would this affect my child? They're going to know a lot about my child's history before he or she has even learned to walk. So
that's correct.
it's kind of boggles my mind. I guess data collection has kind of run rampant in this country. We seem to think because we have computers and lots of space to put it, we're going to collect all kinds of profiles on all kinds of people. Well, so the real thing for parents here, we've only got a minute and a half left, is to tell them that check before your child is born as to what kind of information you have to provide. You may be able to just say the birth date and you know, the essential information and register your child. If you can't, I would suggest they go to their state representative. Would you think that'd be a good idea?
Yes. And on our report, starting on page 12, we have the taking action section.
Mm-hmm.
And we have three parts of that, limiting data on the birth certificate, legislative action, and birthing choices.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing to know is about the questionnaire that you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Some of these states, it actually says, go and look at their prenatal records, go and look at their labor and delivery records, go and find out from other medical records and other sources how to fill out all these blanks about the parents. So it's so I just encourage people not to answer these kind of lifestyle, behavior, education, all that kind of stuff in any of their records, because some of these hospitals will go into the records, other records,
when
they can't get the parents to say something.
Twyla, thank you so much. The website is cchfreedom.org. We have been talking with Twyla Braze, who is the president and co-founder of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla, you've been an absolutely wonderful guest. Thank you so much for sharing this information with us. And thank you to our audience for joining us. You're listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.